Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Yeah, it's interesting when we put things together to preach through, and you see this holidays, it's interesting that always I tend to be handling things that's very close to my heart on long weekends, and then I can just hear the Holy Spirit say, yes, go for it, go for it. So I know that everyone that's here must be here, and that God wants to move you in your spirit from one place to the next. Are you ready? Awesome. My laptop almost went on some kind of holiday. I'm just glad it's back on. Otherwise, I would be on memory, which is okay every now and then, I guess. But the problem then is I make too much jokes. And some people laugh, normally the guys, and the girls just, hulle gee met die kyk. Ag nee, regtig. Gaan ons nou daai grappies weer hoor. Any guys, luckily my computer's on, so let's do this. Father, I want to thank you for every person that's here, Lord. It's incredible, Lord, that you use people like us, Lord. It's incredible that you use someone like me, Lord, which is not qualified in any sense, Lord, to represent such an amazing God. You are so awesome, and we are so broken and stuffed up. And then you come and you breathe on us. Then you come and you say, no, don't say you cannot speak. You will go to Pharaoh. Then you say, lift up your head. Then you say, I have great plans for you, even before you were born. For each one of us, there's these whispers that comes from your heart. And I pray that that moment where you speak with us and we hear and we understand will be amongst us tonight. Just that moment of clarity, Lord, a moment of revelation for each one of us. We're all at different places. From different angles, we look at the cross and we see different things. Some of us sees our pain on the inside or depression. Some of us sees massive challenges at work. Some of us look back and we think of our past and that it disqualifies us. We all look from a different angle, but yet in the middle of our vision, there you are. For all of us, you remain the life. For all of us, you remain the way. The solid ground, this rock on which we stand. Welcome in this place, Holy Spirit, and be with us tonight. Amen. Just quickly turn to someone sitting next to you, maybe a friend, maybe someone you've just met, and just ask them, why are you here tonight? Hoekom is jy nie by die TV nie? There must be one some kind of special in town at this moment at some other restaurant, right? There must be one cool movie at least somewhere. There must be one other thing you could be doing right now. Why are you here? Well, I'm glad you are, but tonight I'm starting a bit of a chat that I'm going to continue for 4 weeks, and it's called This Is What We Do. Tonight you're at part one. Why church? Why are we here? Why are you here? Why did I leave my biokinetics medical practice a few years back to stand here and be with you guys? Why are you here? Some of you make great sacrifices for God. It affects your life, your time, your finances. Why do you do all those things? I want to just start and define again who we are as a family. There's a lot of new faces amongst us, and those that's not here, they can get it from the internet. But it's time for us just to regroup and relaunch together, especially after the comeback we did. If we go to the next slide, we'd like to see a journey in this congregation for each person. And for most people, that journey starts with church, like tonight. And then I'm not going to say a lot on the other things tonight. The one in a heading format is church. We want to focus tonight on that, why we do that. If there's anything in Scripture, anything we do and we find that there's not really scriptural backing to do that, then we should stop doing it. Amen. I mean, there's only one authority that God gave us, and that's His Word. And if you can't find it in there, then we're wasting our time. But we believe that a way of discipleship for each person is to start somewhere. And for us, often the first place someone will walk into is church. Someone will invite them. They'd see a board, or they'll Google and see on the internet, oh, there's a church here. And someone will walk in here not knowing what lies ahead. It'll be a starting point for many people. And then often we'd ask them, but would you maybe take the courage to become a part of a small group where they won't only relate with me with a one-way conversation on a Sunday, but engage with other people? It would be a part of their journey. And so everyone that's new around here, you are invited to small group. But then we, even church and small group can be events that's organized for you. A small group leader would think through what they will do, and even if you go there and you engage in conversation, it would probably be facilitated by another person. What we would love you to do, and what the way we want to disciple you, is to know Jesus yourself. And so we've got things to help you with that. We call them encounters. One is starting point encounter one, which is Wednesday in a week's time. We've got something we call accountability groups. We'll get there in 2 Sundays' time and teach you guys all about it. But we want you to grow yourself, to know the Word for yourself. What a pity if you only take what I give you and you don't have any way to process it in your own mind or measure it against Scripture. That means that you stay a spiritual toddler. No, then I'm failing you, and then this church leadership, and we are failing you. We'd love you to grow yourself in Christ. And then the last thing is we want you to serve. We then want you to start giving and become a part of God's family in that way. In short, that's the journey you will walk in this congregation if you hang around. And some of you guys have been walking it for 5-6 years in this place, even before I came. But tonight, why church? I'm just going to quickly fly through a few scriptures. You can just note it if you want to, and then we'll focus on a piece and maybe dissect that a bit. Psalm 106, verse 47, all through the ages, God's people have met, okay? Save us, O Lord, O God, and gather us from among the nations, that we may give thanks. Not one man in his room, but we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. It's something that they did together. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Let all the people say, Amen, because they're together. Someone is saying something, someone is saying, Amen, I agree. There's a togetherness. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. The next one. I like that verse, and I think of it often. Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, His praise in the assembly of the godly. We see these people coming together, making an effort to say amen, to sing together, to meet at one place. I was glad when they said, let us go. Where are we going? Now we're going to another place where you'll go from your home and I'll go from my home, and then we will be together. And I was glad when they said that. And then we go to the New Testament in Acts. It says, and day by day attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. So they met in the temple and also in their homes. The homes would be a bit like small group and the temple would be a bit like church. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Where were they at? No, in this coming together, they were growing in the faith. Can you see that pattern, everyone? Acts 5, it says, every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching. Okay, so if someone taught, there needed to be someone to hear. And if someone preached, someone needed to be preached too. Okay, so there was a togetherness of God's people. And then the last one, 1 Corinthians 14:26. What then, brothers, when you come together, Each one has a hymn, each one has a lesson, a revelation. What this writer is trying to say is when the people come together, we are differently gifted. Some of us are very organized. They run a connecting table at the back. They run the admin. Everyone knows where to go after they visit a church. Someone is very good at hosting people and putting up delicious snacks. It's servings. Some people are musically gifted. Some are not. All right. And so when we come together, there's a puzzle that fits together. And this is what the scripture says. And here we are. Why do we do this? Especially in our day and age. Okay. Wouldn't it be better if maybe I just take a 5-minute YouTube clip, all right, every week. And then you can just watch it whenever it pleases you. I mean, if there's a nice thing on DSTV right now, then you don't have to be here. You don't have to make the effort. I mean, because before that or after that or tomorrow, you can just log on YouTube and you get your 5 minutes of scripture and you're like, ah, got it. Why do we do this? If you've got like a long weekend at Bad Plas, you don't have to come back, okay? If you've got a friend in Pretoria or Evander or in Cape Town, you never need to consider the coming together because you'll just log on. Why do we do this? Why take the effort? That's the question I'd like to answer tonight. And I kind of lang draai vat. Here's our scripture reading for tonight. 1 John 3:10 to 16. Okay, we're going to go through this nice and slow. And we're going to use this as a basis scripture. And from there, we'll just maybe make a few other references and come back to why we are here dealing with one another. Are you ready? Awesome. By this is it evident who are the children of God. It starts quite intense. And who are the children of the devil? Wow, that's a rough start there. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Now, we are starting a discourse here or a conversation on whether people belong to God or not. This is what this is about. But the measuring stick John is using in this specific piece of scripture is the love which is amongst people. And he's trying to navigate his way through a very difficult question. Do I really know Jesus? Am I saved? How can I know? And the temperature gauge he's using here is the love for other people. And you're going to see this as the scripture goes on. And he's going to have two examples. One example where there's no love and one example where there's great love. And then he's going to put a few things out to the listeners to ask themselves that question. For this is the message that we've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And now he's building an argument. We should not be like Cain. Now, if you're new around here or new around the faith, Cain had a brother. That was only his nickname. But Cain had a brother whose name was Abel. And he was jealous at his brother and ended up murdering his brother. Okay, now this writer is referring back to that story way in the Old Testament, in the beginning. We should not be like him, John said, like Cain, who was of a devil, the evil one, and murdered his brother. And why did he murder his brother? Why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. Let's go on. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Okay, it's quite profound statements. We'll just slow it down in a second. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. Okay, now they're shifting from Cain to Jesus. The one man murdered his brother because there was sin in him. And now he's shifting a gear. He says, but by this we know love. Not by Cain's example, that He laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. We go to the next slide. We're just going to park on verse 10 for a second. By this, it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Okay. The conversation on the table that John is bringing to us is these two different examples. And as we read this and as we work through this tonight, there's one or two things that can happen to your heart as you receive this word. The first thing is you can realize, man, I've never heard this. I've never opened my heart for the love of Christ, and I need to do that. All right, I want to start a relationship with Jesus so that I can become like him. The second thing that might happen is that you have a relationship with Christ, but you really want to bring your ability to love before God, to move to into a more Christ-like love. That's where we are going tonight. And I want to just take you on that journey. So let's go to example one, the broken love of Cain. All right? We should not be like Cain, who was of the devil, of the evil one, and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because of his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised that the world hates you. Why did Cain kill his brother? This is a question for us. Why did he kill his brother? It's because death was working in his heart a long time before he killed his brother. It says there was evil in his heart. Cain did not wake up one day and decided, I'm just going to take my brother and I'm going to end his life. Something was working in him. Something was active in his heart that was not from God. His own deeds were evil. And so the first murderer, before he murdered his brother, was the sin in his heart. Okay? And that's why Christ says, even if you are angry with your brother, in Matthew it says, you've heard it said, you should not murder. I say that even if you are angry with someone, you are open for judgment. How can Jesus relate, and the writers of the gospel, anger, frustration, unforgiveness with something as severe as murder? It is this. What is the difference between the seed in this apple and this apple? What is the difference? Anyone? The one ended up on the ground, received some water, and then produced this. And so every time in Scripture when we hear about anger, resentment, unforgiveness, we see that it's related to death or murder. And then it's like, wow, how can it be so harsh? Jesus also says, you've heard it said, do not commit adultery. But I say to you, if you look lustfully at a woman, you've already committed adultery where? In your heart. You see, because looking and desiring a woman is the seed in small form of adultery. And now we're dealing with love and what the scripture is saying. If you hate, you are carrying death in your heart in a seed form. And if left there, if you leave it there for long enough and it receives just enough resentment, just enough, then what ends up happening is that you start to break away in relationships because you're carrying the seed of murder. Now, what happened when Cain killed his brother is that he separated himself from his brother. And the seed of death, murder, the seed of murder, anger, frustration, unforgiveness, what it always does is it divides. I push you away from me. We were friends. No, we had a great relationship. You did not kill that person physically, but I will not talk to them anymore. They had their chances with me. What you are carrying is that seed of division. For Cain, he resented his brother. He was jealous, and at one stage, he murdered him. In a smaller form, what we do is we break off relationships. Sometimes it's with someone very close, like a parent. And we need to go back into our hearts and figure that out. But there's an example of Cain. It always separates, always breaks away. All right? And then he goes over to the example of Jesus, and he says, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. Now, the opposite of the hate of Cain is the love of Christ. We're going to get to church just now. Check this out. Cain killed, it says his brother was righteous. His brother was a good man, right? Cain killed a righteous man that they might be separated. Jesus died for sinners that we might be together. Can you see the opposite? Hate, jealousy, and the anger and the pride in our heart, which is like Cain carried, is the work of Satan. And it always helps us to separate from people. Always brings division. And the love of Christ always brings together. Check this out. Just jumping from verse 4 a second. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What kind of love is this? So Cain, with his life, with his works, he does something. He separates his brother from him, his good brother. Christ comes and he gives his life for bad people. And so for tonight, I want to just name this love and just call it redemptive love. The love of Christ. Redemptive love. A love that brings together. You can also, if you want to write on agape love, it's a perfect love of God. I just want to read something, then we'll build on that. Let's just quickly go to the next slide. The world loves with a broken love and loves conditionally. Okay, if you love me, I'll love you. If you're kind to me, I'll be kind to you. If you speak to me like that, I'm breaking off a relationship. That's how the world loves, all right? But Jesus loved with redemptive love and teaches us to do the same. So there's the two examples. Now, this is where we land. So what kind of love is in us? Because in the middle of those two examples in 1 John, we get this verse. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. So now it's coming close. Okay, that's nice, that's Cain, that's Christ. But now what about me? Where am I in this? Do I have God's love in me? And it says, if we love the brothers, we know that we have passed out of death into life. Now, who is this brothers? That's the question that he's talking about. I'll tell you who this brothers is. These brothers is a guy like Paul who murdered God's people and then one day gave his life to God. Boom, suddenly this guy's a brother. We should love our brothers. This is a difficult thing. This is like Mary Magdalene, a prostitute, commits adultery, sleeps around in town. One day she meets Christ. She's now part of a community. She's now a brother. And we should love those people. And so when Scripture tells us to love our brothers, maybe you're thinking of that purview. Maybe you're thinking of some other church leader. Oh, it's so easy. I'll tell you what. We are the brothers. We come with our junk. I come with mine and you come with yours. And then we are together. And now this Scripture is saying you should love the brothers. Because that shows that you have moved from darkness to light. You've moved from Cain to Christ. Are you with me? So why church? Why church? I'm going to give you 3 points tonight. I'm going to be very short because I know I'm taking you beyond a few layers. I'm not going to keep you too long, but don't lose me. I've got long points for you to write down. We've got church and we meet here so that, number one, through redemptive love, we can love broken people and become 1 John 3:16, which means to lay down our lives for one another. You can only become like Christ, who laid down his life for sinners, if you have sinners around you that you can lay your life down to. And that's the paradox. Because the moment people run into that, they say, I'm out of here. Did you see what that person did? I'm out. He laid down his life for the brother that sins. And so he calls us together, not on YouTube, but here, so that we can be face to face with one another's mess and endure through it. That's where that scripture comes to life, is here. Now, if you think, or if you've heard someone say that, yo, I just want the perfect church, I'll tell you what, then this is a terrible place for you, this church, because we've got some serious sinners, okay? And maybe you're the worst one, or maybe I'm, but that's not the point. The point is, when we come together here, it is not yet heaven. This is sin. This is the Mary Magdalenes. This is Paul the murderer. These are the people, Matthew the liar, coming together to find God on a journey. And now the scripture says, if we can love the brothers, it shows that the love of Christ is alive in us. So we need some bad people to love. But the paradox is, you also like that. Even though we view ourselves as the perfect people and we assess everyone else, you're part of a problem if you are here and breathing, okay? I've got a friend whose father passed away a while back. And that person will be perfect right now. Perfect body, understanding Christ's fullness. But for us, we remain those brothers with our stuff. We say things we don't mean. When we're in a hurry and we hurt people, that's from God. He loves it. Because we receive that broken information or love coming our way, and then the Holy Spirit says, now I'm working in you, now I'm working in you, now you become the church. Are you with me? My heart broke the other day, and one of the pastors is a very good friend of mine, and they're really doing amazing work. A lot of people are really, really changing in that little congregation. A lot of people that you just know they make a change in their life. And so one of the businessmen that's actually keeping that church alive said, no, he's going to go to another church because there's too many rough people here. And my heart broke. And I said, wow, that's why they need him there. He needs them to actually learn to love and to be a part. And so when John says, we know that we've passed from death to life, God throws us together and says, so let's see. It's awesome to be a part of something that's happening in God's kingdom. Amen? You cannot do this. You cannot measure yourself with this if you don't have irritating people around you. Now, one person is irritating to one person, and for someone else it's different, but God needs to have unlovable people in your space for you to lay down your preference and love. Amen? Let's go on. Oh, this is just something for you that comes from that scripture, if you dissect it a bit. We should not love like Cain, but we should love Cain. Can you see that? We should love the unlovable. That's what Christ did. That's redemptive love. Redemption is to help, to intervene, to help someone. Redemptive love means I see what you can be way before you're there, and I will love you all the way there in this broken, messed up place. Yeah, but I'm still struggling with this thing, and I can't. I will walk with you. I will tie my hip to yours, and I will not let you go. I don't care if your parents gave up on you and call your names, but I will not let you go. I will love you with your junk until you're out all the way. And if it means only when we die, then that's Christ working in me, redemptive love, and purifying me. If you're starting to walk a road with people that's broken and difficult and you remain faithful, let me tell you what. It might mean that that's your assurance that you've passed from death to life. Because His love is now working in you. And previously it wasn't like that. You didn't care about anyone. And now you're starting to care. Oh, I'm praying for that person. I want them to also know Jesus. God's working redemptive love in you. Amen? Check this out. I'm just jumping to another piece just to show this progression. So it's talking about the different gifts in the church, and then it says all those gifts are there to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of a body of Christ. Okay, there's a building that must happen until we all attain to the unity of a faith. Okay, so if we must do something together until we attain the unity of faith, where are we now? That means we're not yet there, all right? But we must keep on doing something faithfully until we reach the unity of faith. So people say, there's no unity in this church. I'm away, I'm out. That's missing the point. You see, we focus and love until we attain to the unity of the faith. Just two verses on, same thing. It says, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up, which means by default, we are still growing. We're not grown up. When he comes back, we'll be perfect. But until then, het ons groeipyne. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way. Now let me tell you something. Martin, as ek vir jou sê, listen, I just quickly want to have an honest conversation with you. You know where that's leading, all right? Those are not great conversations. If you want to quickly have an honest conversation with you, then you are coming with a bit of correction. You are probably going to tell someone, listen, I don't agree what you're doing here. These are difficult things that will happen here. But through that, with love, we are to grow up in every way. Why are we doing this? Why do I ask my leaders, if you're away in Pretoria or Joburg, get in your car soon enough and be here, because we are to grow up. Take responsibility for what's happening here. And our guys are amazing. We'll wake up in Cape Town, they'll be here. You'll have someone in your van there saying, sorry, I see you now, Vigini. That's okay, we're all growing. Okay, we're all growing. But as we are growing, God wants us to do it together, hand in hand. Why do we do church? Being faithful to Scripture. He's doing something. It is so easy to experience God on your own. I wanted to use this next week, but let me share it with you. A friend of mine posted something on Facebook, and it is really incredible. He says, it's very hard to have true friendship and holiness in a group. It's very easy to be holy, but I'm not going to tell my friend about all the stuff he's doing. I'm not going to engage in that. That's his thing. You see, but are you being a great friend? No. I'm going to follow God on my own. It's also very easy to be friends if everything goes, but it's very hard to have both friendship and holiness. And that is what Christ is calling us to. And daar's jou groeipyne. That's where the truth comes in. And so when he calls us together like this, he's saying, let's walk together. You guys can do this. That's why we do what we do, to grow up and to become like Christ. We are not yet in unity, but until then, we work on it. Not yet grown up, but until we are, we'll get there by doing what? Next verse. Lay down our lives for the brothers, for one another. Until you are there, I am here for you. That's powerful stuff. I will love you through your addiction. So number two, why church? So that through redemptive love, unity and growth might happen. So I'd say that a healthy church is a church with a lot of sinners in it, because it means people are coming to receive Christ. If you want to keep church very clean, only have 10 people that's known Jesus for 10 years. Okay, then you've got, but no, don't invite anyone else, okay? But that's not the heart of Christ, amen? You guys with me? Moment you start, guys, let's open our hearts. Let people invite Christ. Sinners will come. Sinners must come to church. Do you agree with me? Anders, jy nie welkom gewees het nie. Dis, hè? But who's going to walk with those people if we are critical and self-righteous? I don't mix with people like that. I'm sorry, we're going to have a problem. That's not the will. And I don't see that in Christ. Is he willing to die for someone like me? Oh, I can walk with any man. Man, doesn't matter what sin he carries. Guys, do you get the heart of that? That's why we are here. I'm glad that sinners are welcome in God's house, so I could come as well. And the time was right and he called, I was welcome. I thought they'd kick me out, but they welcomed me in. So that's awesome. I'd want to say on this thing, loving the brothers, loving like Christ, laying down our lives, I'd say it'd be unacceptable for Christ if we'd say our expectation of church is that things should run like we want it to run and we'd always be comfortable with it. That would be unacceptable because that's not laying down your life. Someone, 2 o'clock, no, 1 o'clock, when a lot of us were still resting, was laying down their afternoon to set up this place. So when I say lay down your life for the brothers, it might, it's something out there, but let me tell you what, that's how it hits the ground. Someone got up, quickly had lunch at 12 because 1 o'clock a few men opened this place to lay down this afternoon, their time, that's their lives, to set up this place. It starts like that. Someone did it. Someone took time planning to set up food at the back, and Hanu is very grateful for that, and so am I. But this is the moments, if you put it all together with life and work and love and marriage and everything, and someone, this is laying down our lives. Some people will do things here, they'll never get a thank you. It's laying down our lives. It's unacceptable to think church should be smooth for me. No, that's not laying down. So I'm inviting you guys into the reality of the faith, which is standing strong within relationships that is messy. Amen? People in church, people that's committed to Christ and church mostly, okay, can also endure marriage because they've learned to work and work through relationship. Christ has taught them that in church. Sometimes I make the joke, I say, the guys on the setup team, hulle se trou material, okay? Because these guys, they work where no one sees, but in marriage, they'll do the same. They'll serve without a thank you. Your relationship with Christ and his church will bear fruit in your life and where you work and in your marriage and everything. Number 3, we're finishing up there. It's not a long evening. Why do we come together here? Number 1, so that through the redemptive love, we can love broken people like me and you. Number 2, so that through redemptive love, unity and growth might happen. We're not there yet, but we are going. We're forgiving and asking forgiveness along the way. We're taking shots, giving shots, and just forgiveness. But one day we will get there, amen? Also, what a shame if people would come through this church doors and be intimidated because what they see from us is perfection. And we sort of, I don't know if that is what we should show. This one thing is loving God really with a pure heart. But I'll tell you what, I'm the pastor of this church and I know some days it's hard for me to pray. Some days I don't get to the word. So if I give the idea that ek en Jesus so is and also that altijd perfect. It's not true, and I'm sorry. We are all broken. And when people come through the door, they must see it. When they're in your small groups, they must know that you're not perfect, because that means there's a place for them. That's why we have church, where people can meet Jesus. Number 3, so that through redemptive love, we will reach sinners for Jesus and obey Matthew 28 verse 19, which says, go and make disciples. You only make a disciple once you get your hands on a sinner, right? An unlovable, unthankful person who probably hates you because you're always asking them to church, okay? And so, Cain's love, the love of the world, say, okay, jy is so met my, so ek is so met jou. Here's the hand. But not the love of Christ. Loves through that. Navigates its way through those. Who's been rejected at work like 10,000 times for inviting everyone? Quickly hand up. Okay? Don't stop. Okay? There was a man. Who remembered last year there was a guy here, Carl, that preached here? He used to came to my house and he bothered me most days of the week. Wanted to spend time with me. And then I'm like, ek weet wie Jesus is. Ek ken die story van Noach. But this guy just came to my house. He was just praying for me and he would not let me go until one day I went to church and I got on my knees. Don't give up. I'm encouraging you. So that through redemptive love, we will reach sinners for Jesus and obey the command of Christ. That is why we do what we do. This is in short. And so someone in church might walk in here, or someone might walk in here, and you might be the only person they know. I'm glad you're here, because you're on the wall waiting for God to use you. Someone in small group is just maybe waiting the whole week just to chat to you because you were kind to them. And they need to open up about something very hurtful. And so there you are, ready to help, to lead. We've got work to do in this town, people. So I always joke about it. I say it's not a very... People don't stay here that only want to receive. They find it hard to be a part of this church. And that's maybe a good thing, because everyone here must have their hand to the plow in some way or another. And it's all different, and that's okay. Some of us are okay to talk in front of people. Some of us hate it. Some of us love to help in small group and just get the place ready, but just don't ask me to talk or pray. You know what? There's some place somewhere in the kingdom where God has shaped you for. And so here we are. Together. A few years back, it was 4 people here. Now God is using us. Isn't that amazing? And so we do church. We believe in this. And we'll go to the last slide again. You are sitting at the start of what is, for a lot of people, the start of a journey in this congregation. And so if you are here for the first time or second time, I want to challenge you. Take the next step and go to small group. Amen? Let's stand tonight. I want to ask you, where do you think God is going with you in your life? Where do you think is he going with you? Because I'm telling you what, there's some people here that will shake this town and do amazing, amazing things. In fact, everyone that's willing. What has he gifted you with? What comes naturally for you? What do you dream about if you think about making a difference? What is that? Give it to God, surrender it to him, and bring it into the place where all the gifts come together. Sure, we see things so different, guys. In Corinthians it says, let not the eye say to the ear this and this. Let not the foot say to the hip this and this. We have the same head, Christ, but where we are, we all have a different view of him. Can you see that? Oh, but when we are together, things happen. And so, Father, I want to thank you for every heart that's here tonight. Some of them at the start of a journey, maybe excited, maybe a bit scared. Lord, that's okay. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll comfort every person. You know, Lord. Some of us have known you for a while and we just got a bit tired. Lord, it happens, and therefore you say, he who is heavy burdened, come to me. I pray that every heart that is just a bit tired will just connect with you again and rest in you, Lord. All of us are still here. You have not yet come. We must all walk a journey. And yes, we are at different places, but we're all walking by the same power, the power of the Spirit, and with our eyes on Jesus. Help us to walk together. Help us to walk together. Lord, and we just, you can agree with me in prayer if you do, and you can say amen. But Lord, I just proclaim that there's no place for pride in our midst, Lord. We just open our hearts to serve one another. I want to confess, Lord, and also repent that I don't know how to lay down my life for people the way you did, Lord. I don't know. But here we are, so show us and teach us to do well, Lord. Lord, as a congregation, we just say and proclaim, we welcome any sinner in this town to come and meet you in this place. And they can come just as they are with their stuff. And we'd be happy, Lord, to love them and walk a journey with them. Lord, we repent, Lord, if we have moved from serving to wanting to be served. And we just submit our hearts and our hands again to you. To love like you, Lord, to lay down your life for sinners so that we can be together. And while your eyes are closed, I just want to minister to a few of you. And for some of you, maybe this might be hard to hear, but this is the truth. The truth helps us to grow, amen? If there's separation happening between you and people, that's not God at work. You go sort that out, amen? You figure it out and you sort. You phone that person. That's not the work of love. You're beginning to separate from your parents. They don't understand you, so you're not going to talk to them. That's not God. I'm not talking about an abusive relationship where you have to flee for your safety. Please, just hear my heart here. When He works, there's a coming together. Thank you, Lord. I just don't want to rush this moment. If you want to lay anything at His feet, just take a minute and pray. Maybe you want to give Him your hands again just to serve and love. And if you are full of anger and frustration when you think of people, I'm telling you what, you're going to have to ask God to help you with forgiveness. Amen. Because you're going to end up with a lot of pain and hurt. I want to pray from the front for a few people, so just a few invitations I want to make. I'm just going to ask you to lift your hand just as a sign of faith. If you feel that you are failing at loving the brothers, quickly put your hand up very high and say, Lord, help me with that. If you want to ask Jesus to help you love like He does, to lay down your life, and He'll tell you what that means, just put up your hand and say, Lord, I want that help also. If you feel that's many people, there's a long list of people that you actually have shown to you. Some of you feel very ashamed because you're just thinking of all this relationship that's broken and you don't even know where to start. I'll tell you what, Jesus will just help you with that. Just put up your hand if that's you. There's people coming up. I've messed up those relationships and I've closed up. Father, for every hand that's in the air, every hand that's just saying, me also, Lord, you just do a work right there where they're standing right now, and you do heart surgery. You know every heart way better than I, Lord. So you work. They don't even have to come to the front. You just touched him where they are standing right now. Just keep your hands up for a moment. I just feel God is just working. If you've got a problem with endurance, you start with God, you stop with God. You start with, just quickly put up your hand. Say, Lord, that's me. I've got an endurance problem. I don't see it through. Thank you, Lord, for those people. You see them through, Lord. Lord, I pray for every man to cease with the works of the flesh, Lord. But that the Holy Spirit will empower them from their heart. And so here we are, Lord, to be those voices of encouragement to one another, to walk with one another, to take hands, Lord, to do amazing things in this town, Lord. We don't have time, Lord, to harbor hatred. We don't have time, Lord, to be petty. We don't have time to be in competition with one another. We are all under you, and we say thank you, Lord.